Good morning. I want to warn you right now to put your fire retardant suits on, because from this point forward, we will be going in a direction that true Christianity is all about. So if you would turn with me to Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, two verses, verse 15 and verse 23. The title of this message is Brass Heavens, Iron Ground. Holy Spirit, we just invite you to be here. Use this vessel for your glory. Do not hold back anything from your people today. Give us ears to hear and give us the courage to walk in the ways of Jesus, Lord. I ask this in his mighty name. Amen. Deuteronomy 28:15. However, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees I'm giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. In verse 23, the sky over your head will be bronze, the ground beneath your feet iron. Deuteronomy 28 talks about curses, and Deuteronomy 29 talks about blessings. And these things are real. Just because we're in a new covenant does not negate the fact of what God has said. God is bringing us to a place, and he wants to bring us to a level, individually and collectively, to a place that we not only impact each other's lives, but we impact our family's lives, the lives of our community, the lives of our nation. And for too long, the church has remained silent while taking the abuse of the enemy. So today is going to be a day in which hopefully we can begin to start doing a self-examination. Now I know some of us are just new babies in Christ, and some of us have been walking with the Lord for a week or two, like me. But the issue here is our obedience. Our obedience is of the utmost importance for us to make it in advance. Our obedience to the commands that God has given, who expresses to me, and then I express it to our leadership, and then our leadership expresses it to our congregation. If you understand that a family works this way, so does the military, so must the church. That doesn't mean you can't question what's going on. It means that you need to be obedient to what God is calling us to do. Amen? And one of the things that I want us to really pay attention to is in verse 23. It talks about the heavens being brass and the ground being as iron. Prophetically, brass is a symbol of judgment, hypocrisy, and disobedience, of which it's prefaced in verse 15, that in our disobedience, these curses will come upon us. And one of these curses that we have is God will not hear our prayers. Okay? God will not hear. He will not answer because he's requiring something of you and of me that is far greater importance than our needs and wants and desires and our comfort zones and anything else. What he wants is the salvation of souls before he comes. That's what we're in. That's the game plan. The victory is winning souls. Not to add 5,000 people to streams. Not to add $10,000 a month to streams. It's not to have me working two jobs, bivocational. The goal here is to win souls so that we can replicate and turn unrighteousness into righteousness, that the kingdom of God may inhabit our homes, our hearts, in our communities. That is the purpose. Iron speaks of affliction, crushing, and inflexibility. Talks about a rigidness. And in this sense here, he's talking about if any of us have going through the desert, and you look at the ground, and you see how pockmarked it is and how brittle it is. Nothing grows there. It's very dry. The ground breaks very easily. It's talking about our efforts to produce something. But because God is not listening, our efforts will produce nothing. And Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. The area that we really need to tighten up on, and Nolan has spoken about, is our prayer lives. We have great things planned this year, and we have submitted it to God to be not only in the midst of these plans, but to take these plans and do what He wants with them. Win as many souls as we possibly can. I used to believe that when we started this ministry that we would just plant them in whatever church. You know, you win this one, let them go to the Presbyterian church or Baptist church. Whatever. But I am here to tell you that they need to come to a church where they can get raised up. They can be loved in spite of who they are and what they have and don't have. And be trained for war. To go out and fight the good fight of faith. And I believe that's our church. I believe that as we have been setting in motion certain things, the leaders have not only risen to the occasion, they are embracing what God is doing and what God is speaking. That's not saying that you guys don't either. It's just that they are appropriating what God has spoken to them into their lives. And it's all predicated on our obedience to what God has said. It says the church that prays together stays together. And it is true that the enemy had done something this past week that rocked this church. Early on in our ministry, and Nolan was part of this, we suffered a church split within the first 6 months of our existence. That rocked me personally because I thought I had a relationship with another man of God that wanted the same things, and that was be yielded to God and to raise up an army of warriors, love warriors, to win souls for the kingdom. And obviously, Satan had gotten into it, and personal agendas came into being, and unfortunately, at that time, Streams was called Crossbow. We had suffered a church split. We were up to about 35, 40 people. This is a little bit different because the idea that Satan had was to smite the shepherd, the flock would scatter. This one here is to destroy the flock. And you have to understand that all of us are part of the flock. Irene and I had spent the next several days ministering to family members. And it was exhausting because in keeping our spirits pure before God and not allowing anger and just resentment and bitterness to engulf our hearts, and the repudiation of loved ones who had perpetrated sin like never before was very exhausting. But because of it, I believe this congregation is stronger because these individuals were the ones from the beginning that were encouraging me not to give up the ministry. And we have to understand that what God is doing. Why did God allow this attack to come? I think, first of all, was to wake us up to the reality that what I have been saying for the last several years is that you need to be equipped. You need to really get discipled and get your houses in order. The next thing is to have a prayer life. And prayerlessness is what has bemoaned the church in America. Because I can say that in that I see the fruit that's being bore. They are filled with finding out what is good for them. They are great to giving monies, but they are not great in service. There is always a core nucleus that have caught the vision or part of the vision to understand, and the rest of the church has disowned its responsibility to what God has ordained. You see, the church is God's answer in this time, and you are part of His church. You are the answer to what is going on in the world today. And you may not believe that, but let me tell you some things. Prayerlessness comes out of a lack of fellowship with God. We don't pray because we have either sin issues that we have not been willing to deal because God has been so gracious to us that we'll have tomorrow to deal with them. Well, tomorrow is today and it has come. You need to deal with those sin issues now. If you do not deal with those sin issues and the sin issue of disobedience, and you know what He has told you that He wants you to do, but for some reason we don't want to do that, that is disobedience. And one of the curses is that the heavens turn to brass. Now, what does that look like in our practical sense? You may say, well, Pastor, I talk to God, and He answers my prayer. Okay. But what about the church? There's three heavens. We have the heavens in which we breathe and live and move. We have the second heavens, which is the cosmos. But are you in the third and most important heaven seeking God? You see, there's angels that will assist us. There are angels that will help us, even answer our prayers for us. But are we penetrating heaven? Do we really want the will of God in my life and in the church life? I can't answer that for you. I can only answer for me that is my desire. Pastors for generations and for centuries have done all kind of things. We can say we're going to have this event and people will come because it's festive and it's fun. And you know what? I can set up chairs. I can put tables up and I can help clean and all. But when I make this proclamation that's about ready to come forth, how many are going to show up? Remember I said a church that prays together stays together. Remember I said that we have to have individual prayer lives? Because, you see, our prayer lives must also be included into the prayer life of the church. And that's what I'm talking about now, is the church coming together and breaking open heaven. We have not had that happen yet. I have been experienced in those things. I have seen those things. I have participated in those things. I have sought God with other men and women of God and get to that point where God is about ready to open up the heavens and Satan comes in and destroys everything. And the destruction is so sure that many of those who were part of what God was about ready to do have fallen away to a place where it's me and Jesus. That is not going to happen here. We are going to fight for each other. But most importantly, we're going to fight for our God. Some of the things that we have that you may not think about that could hold the heavens in brass is having a judgmental attitude towards others, which is fostered out of a spirit of pride and elitism. That should not be in the body of Christ. If anybody should be elite, it should be the humble and poor being lifted up. Forgetting the poor. The poor is part of the orphans and widows, and we have talked about this, and Streams is involved in making those realities so that those lives of those individuals can be better. But we're not going to intrude unless invited. We're there to help the families. And the heart of God is to help those families learn to trust in God, but also to see the goodness of God through those things. Have we forgotten the poor? Individually, I'm speaking. Are we following the teachings and traditions of men other than the teachings of God? Are we wrestling with issues that when I bring a truth to you, are you wrestling with that issue, or are you really going back like a Berean and taking that to heart and looking at the scriptures and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you? Or are you fighting that to hold on to what man says other than what God says? And some of that reality is us misquoting the scriptures or taking only a part of that scripture to meet our need and soothe our conscience. But are we doing that to remain disobedient to God? Again, I'm not judging. I'm being under compulsion of the Spirit for us to really look at and examine ourselves. Prayerlessness. What causes this prayerlessness? Guilt and condemnation. Are we so bent on that we should have and could have done these things to help avert this? I have to tell you, that's not God. God doesn't condemn us and He doesn't guilt-ridden us. But what happens is we don't pray because we think that it is from God. Satan does a hatchet job on our minds thinking that we're these worms, when God says, you're not these worms. You are these warriors. You are His warriors. And probably the least talked about sin that is in the church that I know of, because I've never heard a message, nor have I preached one, is honoring our spouses. Don't we know that if I dishonor or fight with my wife, my prayers are hidden or hindered from going forth? Doesn't that turn the heavens to brass and God will not hear? Part of that is, do I put my spouse down? And it could be husband or wife. Do I take my husband for granted? Do I take my wife for granted? Do I expect my wife to do everything and I just sit around, or do I help and honor her? And when something she does and someone compliments her, do I get offended and try to steal that glory, or do I brag on her? Do I brag on him? That's what it means to honor our spouses. Not to pay them lip service. And not to make our conscience and our soul feel good, but to do it because God is lifting us up. And He wants to hear our prayers. He wants us to be in alignment with Him. Do we treat them with respect in front of people, or are we always putting them down? And the reason why this happens is because the church has not learned from the examples set by the men of God. Because let's face it, we have not been good examples to you. And I pray that I have been a good example to you. At least this is what you guys are telling me. And I'm not making that sound braggadocious. I want to improve. I want to exalt the church. I want to see the church exalted. But most importantly, I know the importance that if we are not in unity as one church, it doesn't matter what we do. It doesn't matter what we plan. Because without God, nothing's going to happen. We're going to go through our human efforts hoping that something will happen. And I'll tell you what, it's not going to happen. The time to pray for these events is not a day, a week, or a month before they happen. The time to pray for these things is now. Now. We need to put the enemy to flight. We need to take our position in the spirit realm first. And how do we do that? We need to come together now and break through the brass heavens. We need to repent of our sin of disobedience, wherever that field may be. And we need to make correction in those areas. What happens in our lives is that Satan has given us a plate full of garbage, saying that if I don't pray and talk to God today, I got tomorrow. I could talk to him tomorrow. I could pray for that person tomorrow. That person may be gone today. You see, Satan feeds us a bit of lines guaranteeing us tomorrow. God gives us the truth and says, you're not guaranteed your next breath. And yet we walk around thinking that we're okay. For us to get to the next level, we need to be real about who we are and where we stand. Do we stand in Jesus Christ, or do we stand in our own efforts? And believe me, it's not easy for me because I'm self-examining myself. I want to be the best pastor for you guys I possibly can be. I want other fivefold ministry gifts to come in to help us get to that next level. Not only get to that next level, but surpass it. That the vision that was cast last year, that God gave me over 10 years ago, that is now coming to fruition, is that all of us together can have this inheritance that He has promised us. And that is coming. Well, Pastor, you just don't understand where I'm coming from. No, you don't understand where I'm coming from. It's not that I'm indifferent or callous to your plight. What it is, I'm totally sold out for the will of God. And I want that for us. Because if He should tarry and He takes me home, who's going to carry on the work? Are you? Are you? I could have given up years ago, but because I love God so much, and the Holy Spirit had encouraged me through individuals like Sean and Nolan and my daughter to continue on the work. They said, we believe that what God has given to you is true. And we've had people come and examine the ministry, and they have come away saying, this is the real deal. This is what church is supposed to be. This is what we should be learning. We should not be in here trying to make ourselves feel good, because I'm not here to make you feel good. I'm here to get you to do what God has created you to do. And that's very, very hard coming from my position, because I don't want to come off like we're all wrong. We're not good enough. No, what it is I have to fight religious spirits. I have to fight against denominational mindsets. I have to fight against things that have been put into us to be torn out so our thinking would be straight. When the men went to the Band of Brothers 2 years ago, every man said, this is of God. And we believe God wants us to be part of this. Last year, we went to Banner Brothers, and it was really exciting to me. We didn't go there to get filled up with a bunch of Yahoo stuff. We went there, and we got filled with, how can I help build this ministry? I saw such growth in the men going in there. They weren't thinking about their comfort. They were thinking about, what is it that God has laid in my hands, and how can I make it grow, God? What is it that you would have me to do? And it blessed my heart to see my spiritual sons. In one, we were in an evangelistic outreach thing. All of us were in the same thing. All of us wanted to know how we could reach those who don't want to be reached. And I've told you this, that this is not your father, your mother's good time church. This is not what it's going to be. We are going to go after them that nobody wants. We're going after them. And then we're going to raise them up. And then we're going to release them. You are the devil's terrors. And you haven't even realized it. He is so afraid of what God is going to do with us that he's trying to stop the ministry before it gets going. And what do? We throw a 5-second prayer up that comes out of our mouth and hits the floor, and we just believe that God's going to answer our prayers. We have to understand that in mature relationships, maturing relationships, that sometimes you don't get everything that you ask for. Sometimes we don't get the results that we're looking for. And when we don't, we cry and we bemoan God and we blame God and we yell at God, and we never, ever think about who is behind all this. And it's not God. God is for us, not against us. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves unto God. Resist the devil and flee from him. We have resisted the devil. We rebuke him. We tell him where he's at. We put him under our feet. And we don't see change. We don't see nothing going on. Why? We don't read the fullness of the Scripture. The Scripture tells us to first submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. The reason why things aren't going well in your life, and you're finally waking up and seeing that you're walking through a desert, a mine zone, is because you have not submitted that area or whatever it is that God has said for you to give to him, because he wants to give more of himself to you. Submit yourself unto God. That's the beginning of obedience. Is to submit to him and his will and what he wants done. Resisting is our part. We are going to resist the enemy's attack. We are not only going to resist it, and he's fleeing from us even as we're making these declarations, we're going to take his treasure from him. And that are souls that he's left in bondage. Souls that are in darkness. Souls that are hurting. Souls that are filled with fear. Oh, forgive me. I'm describing part of the church. Did you catch that? I don't need permission from the government to tell them that they're wrong. God's already told me that I need to tell them when they're acting unrighteously to declare to them, to put the fear of God into them. And what do we have today? We have a society that is being destroyed before our eyes. And where's the voice of the church? Well, we just need to have a town watch. We need to be out there and take all the drug guys off the corners. We just need to hide behind our four walls and pray that God will come and rescue us from the plight. You are the answer to this. What are you going to do? What has God said for you to do? Well, I don't know. Well, that could be the first problem. I know what He wants. And I'm working towards that. Submit to God. The reason we don't submit to God is because we have these issues. I was talking with an individual and saying, well, they're dealing with lustful issues. I said, they're dealing with undisciplined sexual perversion that's demonically inspired. Let's call it the way it is. I'm not dealing with flesh and blood. I'm dealing with spirits, evil spirits that hate you and hate me. And the way they get around it is to destroy those whom we love, to hope to destroy us. The Church of America has gone from truth to entertainment. That is the truth. Let's invite comedians in. Let's have a television show. Let's do this. Let's not talk about the issues at our hand, like sin, unrighteousness, and unholiness. Let's not talk about that, because after all, I have some pretty big givers. Well, you know what? I don't want them here if they're not about exposing their sin and getting right before God. I don't want them here. I don't want to preach mamby-pamby, feel-good services. That's not in my demeanor. That's not in my heart, and that's not God. Second Timothy 3, 1 through 7 says, but this mark, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful and unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They have a form of godliness, but deny its power. Have nothing to do with them. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over weak-willed women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires. Always learning, but never able to acknowledge the truth. Describes America, I think, to a T. Murder rates are up. Black-on-black crime is 100 times worse than it was 10 years ago. Crime is up. I don't care what the FBI says. I'm watching it right before my eyes. Unemployment is up. Underemployment is up. Teenage pregnancy is up. Venereal diseases is up, and it's so bad because of the promiscuity of our society that children, innocent children, are being birthed with venereal diseases already, attributing to birth defects. Where's the church? Oh, we just pray for them and everything will be okay. You think so? Jesus set us an example. He set the example of praying all night. He fasted. When was the last time you fasted? When was the last time you did it God's way? You see, the chosen fast that God has is that when we fast a meal, we give that meal to someone who does not have it. We take those finances and make someone else's life better. But you don't understand, Pastor. I have all these needs. No, you have all these greeds. You have not learned to sacrifice for a soul. And until you learn the issue of sacrifice, the heavens are going to be brass, and the ground that you're walking on, hoping that something good happens, is going to be iron. And let me tell you, where you think you're going to have prosperity because you're walking in disobedience, hear me very clearly. God is going to allow that to be removed from you. You heard it from me first. Because that's what He said He's going to do. And He said it right there. You look at the curses. He hasn't changed. What he said 4,000 years ago is still active today. We are not being condemned, but he expects us to be obedient. And we had this greasy grace mentality, like everything's cool in the kingdom. Everything is not cool in the kingdom. You were hearing some of the not so cool stuff that was happening in the kingdom this week. And it's coming to visit you and your family if you don't wake up. See, I want the protection of God. I will do whatever I need to do because I'm under His protection. And if He reveals a sin to me that I need to repent of, guess what? I'm not prideful. I'll repent. I don't want to have nothing to do with it. And then I don't go back to it. But a lot of us repent, and we're still repenting because we don't have self-control, which is a fruit of the Spirit. And that fruit takes time to develop. So that means I must become disciplined. I must discipline myself in order for this fruit to come forth in my life. Judgment starts in the household of God, and judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. You're going to see powerful churches in this coming year fall because they have condoned sin. You're going to see the Episcopal Church this coming year be shattered because they condone homosexuality in the pulpit. You're going to see the Catholic Church take some shots because they have condoned pedophilia amongst the flock. You're going to see it. Why? Because God has said it's going to happen. I told you that to be a Christian, a real Christian, is going to cost you everything that you are and everything that you have. And for as long as you've been here, I've been telling you, well, today is the day of payment because God is going to exact that cost. You're either going to be a real Christian or you're going to be a for real pretend Christian. Because what is coming upon the land, you don't want to know. Those of us who have already consigned ourselves to death are not afraid to die for what we believe in. We're not afraid of challenging the people of God. We're not afraid of anything. Why? Because to be exit from this tent is to be present with God. So I'm not even worried about that. You may be worried about it. You may be sitting there wondering, well, you know, I think Pastor's really blowing things out of proportion. Look at Revelation. I'm really toned down. Some of the things, I really love the Science Channel because some of the things that they're talking about is in Revelation. And I've only touched the first 6 chapters of Revelation. I haven't really even gotten to the deep stuff yet that's coming upon the land. And God's doing it because the church has not been active about winning souls. The church in America. We can't even declare ourselves as a Christian nation any longer because our government system is so corrupt, they don't even want God in it anymore. You got a president who says that he's a Christian. But I look at the fruit of his life and he's no more Christian than the man in the moon. I just look at fruit. That's all I do is look at fruit. I'm not judging him, but I see the policies that he has. And anybody that has a policy to inflict pain and hardship on families, that's not of God. I hate to break it to you. It's not of God. And the church is silent because they have believed the biggest lie since the turn of the 1900s. And that is separation of church and state. Well, the fact of the matter is it's not in the Constitution. And the fact of the matter is I don't need their permission to speak into government's life. I just need to have the courage to stand up for God. And so do you. It's going to take radical spirits with a radical mindset. Are you that radical? I know I am. Who wants to take the time to pray and really do the things that the Lord says to do? Because it's going to take radical people to do it. Are you that people? I've counted the cost for my own self. I know I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. How do I know? Because I love people. I love people. Isn't that what he said in John 13:35? They'll know you, that you're my disciples, by the love you have for one another. Is your love self-love and just my four or five and no more? Or is it, you know what? What Pastor said is challenging me today. And I need to reevaluate where I'm at. Because that's what Joshua told all Israel. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now I'm telling you, as for Streams, this is my house that I'm raising up for your inheritance. We're going to serve God. We're going to serve them. We're going to have fun. We're going to see souls won. But it's going to require us to be radical, more radical than where we are, more radical than what we thought about Christianity. We have brothers and sisters in foreign lands that are putting their lives out on the chopping blocks each and every day to put the gospel out. And we can't even go out to our friends and neighbors and share the good news of Jesus Christ. And we have total freedom to do it. And don't wait till they take that freedom away. But we live in America. You're only as free as those corrupt politicians will allow you to be free. And believe me, they're all corrupt. We're going to go into the fields. We're going to bring in a harvest. We're going to carry those sheaves on our arms, and we're going to lift them up to God. We're going to praise God. We're going to thank Him for the harvest. We're going to thank Him now for the harvest. Because you see, Israel, when they went and planted, they praised God as they were planting because they knew a harvest was coming. I know a harvest is coming. I know that to be a mamby-pamby Christian, you could go to any safe church you want. To be at Streams is to know that when you stand before the Lord, you can give a good account before Him. Because that's my heart's desire, just like Paul, to present you complete in Jesus Christ. Not partial, but complete in Jesus Christ. It means to be mature. It means to have everything that He has wanted you to become. It is to do those things that God has called into your life and into my life. And to bring all that stuff together in the church so that we take it to the highways and byways. So that people can see that there is a greater reality than just begging them to come. We're not begging. We're going to command them to come. We're going to stand up for God. We're going to be unapologetic. Just like the Muslims are unapologetic in their lies. Believing in a false religion. We're going to be unapologetic in Jesus Christ because He said He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only one that's going to keep you in heaven. He's the only one that's going to keep you safe. He's the only one that's going to be able to deliver you and me. Who's with me in this? Who can stand with me and say, you know what, I'm going to make this declaration, Pastor. I'm going to be with you and we're going to do this thing. Stand up. And it's all right for you guys that are not. I don't want you to stand up because you see everybody else and you don't want to be left out. I want you to examine yourself because what's going to be required of you is going to be more than you ever thought or asked. And it's not going to be me asking, it's going to be God asking you. Father, we just come before you and we declare to you this day, God, that Satan has thrown his best punch at us, God. And because he threw the first punch, God, we're coming after him. In Jesus' name. We're coming after the souls that he has no right to, God. We're coming after them, God, and we're going to tell them the truth. We're going to love them, God, in spite of being unlovable and unlovely, God. We're going to love them as you love them, with the love that you have given to us, God. You have declared from heaven that, Father, you are unconditional in your love for us, God. God, as we go forth today, God, may the Holy Spirit just convict us more and more on those areas of compromise and disobedience where we've had, God, and surrender that to you, Lord. God, I pray for the harvest. I pray for the events that are coming, the Williamstown Day, the Oktoberfest, the tree lighting, God. I pray that when streams goes out there, God, that people will be drawn to them because you have gone before us, Lord. That you have been the one that draws them with cords of love, God. That you're the one who's able to bind up the brokenhearted, God. That you're the one that deserves all praise and glory. That you're the one, God, that has delivered us from darkness into light. That you have given us a kingdom that will never end, God. And that you have given us a Savior who has died for us and has given us His very life so that we may have eternal life together, God. God, we will declare to this world, God, your great and awesome love, that you died, God, for them. And we will not be ashamed of the gospel, because only in the gospel is the power of salvation, God. We're going to come against false religions, God. We're going to come across people who have this new age mindset. We're going to come across people that don't believe in God. God, you use us, God. You help us declare those marvelous things, God. You help us to tell them the truth, God. And then you do what you need to do, God. God, you have told us to go and preach the gospel. You have told us to compel them to come in, God. You have told us to raise them up and release them. God, you have told us to make them warriors and weapons in your quiver, God. You have told us, God, that we are kings and priests, a holy nation, God, unto you. You have told us, God, and today we will stand in unity, God. In obedience to you, God. We want to come together, God, and break those heavens, God. We want to break that brass, God. We want to break it apart so that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that you will find a people that is obedient to you, God. God, we have counted the cost. And the cost is total annihilation of the kingdom of darkness, God. Father, as we go forth today, God, I just pray in Jesus' name that the challenge is going forth and we just take it to heart, God, and make it our reality. Do what you need to do, God, to convict us and lay down those things that you have so generously put your mercy and grace upon, God. But now, it's time for the accounting, God. Either we're going to stand for you or we're not going to stand at all. But this house is going to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen.